Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Check 1, 2. Hi, everybody. Nice to be back. Good to see you. Nice to be seen. My name is Dean, and let's say we have a humdinger for you today. We're going to meet a friend. That's what we like to do here. Introduce you to new people. We like to have experts on, but we also like to have people who like to mock the process, like Lachlan. And I do also welcome Lachlan Cross to the program as well. Again, nice to see you. Pretty nice to see you today. Like, decent to see you today. Not overly nice to see you today.
We didn't really coordinate on the wardrobe side of things. We're both
wearing the exact same shirt. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Not only do we not coordinate on the wardrobe, I want to talk about hockey a little bit today to start the podcast because Austin Matthews.
Can I give you a quick tip?
No, you can't because I'm still talking. No, because
shirts.
No, I don't want you to interrupt me. We're going to practice that today. We're going to practice
ice cube in the light in the.
Don't know what you're talking about.
It's wrinkles. No,
I don't care. So, I want to talk about hockey. So, I talked about Austin Matthews having a heater last night at 65th. They win in overtime against the Pittsburgh Penguins. We don't talk about hockey a lot, although big puck fan. Leafs are heading into the playoffs on a bit of a heater. And it dawned on me last night. I'm like, fucking Austin Matthews might be the best two-way player in the history of the NHL, the most impactful defensive forward. He's Patrice Bergeron-esque. That's how good he is defensively. And offensively, he's the best player in the best goal scorer in the league. One of top two, him, McDavid, the best player in the league. McDavid, if you look at his defensive prowess, not great. I'm like, he's the best fucking player, all-around player in his seventh year that I've ever seen in the NHL. I love Gretzky. I'm a Gretzky-phile. I really am. I got a ton of Gretzky shit. I'm a big Gretzky dude. He's the best offensive player to ever play the game, without question.
No.
Austin Matthews. I don't, unless you take your bias into it, and dumb people do that. Austin Matthews, I've never seen a player like him. As attentive and as impactful at both ends of the ice, I have never seen anything like this. Connor McDavid is outstanding. Don't get me
Connor
wrong.
Connor does have his slip-ups defensively.
Yeah, but like it dawned on me last night. I think you're going to have that conversation at some point in the next couple of years where is this the best overall, the most well-rounded?
You know what's funny that you're just deciding this now that it's going to be a conversation. That's great because I haven't ever heard anybody waxing. Here's my problem. I'm willing to have a conversation about Matthews' prowess. If like, you're willing to bring up McDavid at the same time, 100%. This is the problem I have with Toronto sports media. Toronto sports media will literally have a 15-20 minute panel talking about the best player in hockey, and they'll even do like an all-time thing, and they will neglect to bring up Connor McDavid, which to me, all they're doing is just trolling Edmonton fans. That's all that is. It's annoying. So what ends up happening is we push back. The fact that you brought up Matthews as a great two-way player.
Yeah.
Although I have seen him.
I've never seen him cheat defensively once. Never. Come on. Never. No,
I've watched literally a quarter of the Leaf hockey that I do Oilers hockey.
Yeah. He doesn't give up on any defensive. He is being lauded today. Last night's game, watching him play the game he played defensively, which was maybe better than the game he played.
How many points did he get last night?
One goal, tie goal, fucking 65 of them this year in 76 games. I mean, Jesus.
What I really wanted was I wanted Hyman to catch him. There was a conversation about a month ago about Hyman because he was on a bit of a heater. He had like 9 points in 6 games or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I tweeted, I hope Hyman gets his 50th when they go to Toronto and then catches him And what's Matthews. What is the Art Ross is the overall. What's the the Rocket? And I'm like, and he's going to take the Rocket away from Austin Matthews. And everyone was like freaking out.
You know what, though? It was funny because I was tweeting that shit today. And David Parker, he's like, because he's an Alberta guy. He's like, yeah. No way, McDavid is the best player. And I'm like, yeah, you get out of your bias. Everybody's got to get out of your bias.
But there's no bias in that.
There's a bias.
McDavid is
the best offensive player to ever play the game. He really is.
He is unbelievable.
The best active player in the game. The thing is, isn't him though?
His speed is insane. Did you see him take down McKinnon the other night, Friday night against Colorado?
Down end to end, back to back. Yeah, it was incredible.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You guys have Matthews. Be proud of that. You guys can, be very excited, and then you guys will lose in game 7 of the first round and get knocked out.
No question.
I do like this year, though. I do love this year.
Hang on. Our guest, Pete Creek, is fucking furious right now.
It's a low blow, man. Low blow.
Oh, Pete, last year I put $100 down on the Leafs losing in game 7 of the first round. And the payout was only like $1,200. I'm like, how is that not like way more? Like they've been doing this every year since like 1991. And you're telling me the sixth time they'll be doing it in a row? You're not going to give me more than $1,200 for a $100 bet? And of course they won in game 6. Who did they beat last year Tampa Bay?
First round. Tampa got absolutely fisted by the Florida Panthers in the second round. Pete, you're a big fan, right? You're a big Leaf guy. You have to be because you're from the Hammer. So you're sitting there listening in the background. Do you take any issues with what I'm saying? Can you remove your bias as a Leaf fan and go, Matthews might be the best all-around player in the history of the game at this point?
I mean, I do think he's up there. But I will agree to a certain degree. His playoff performance has yet to be reached that potential. He plays great in the seasons, but,
because he's from Arizona. The golf course starts calling.
He played great in the first round last year. And then did sweet fucking nothing in the second round, right? So I want to see that throughout the playoffs rather than just in the season.
This is a good year. All of this shit aside, what I like about this year is that there's a conversation for more than one Canadian team.
To have a chance, Winnipeg's got a chance. Vancouver's on a fucking barrel this year. They're unbelievable out of nowhere.
Well, they've been slipping here the last month or two.
Yeah, you got Edmonton. You're going to have four impact NHL teams from Canada in the
Toronto.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. But to your point, you said that you would...
Toronto, Jets, Vancouver, and Edmonton.
That's what I just said. It doesn't mean anything until you
get... paying attention.
I know shit.
By the way, can we do something about the size of your head?
No, stop. Like, it's never listen. I said to my girlfriend last night, she's like, how does a podcast go? I go, not bad. Lachlan never listens to anything anybody says and just asks questions in the middle of the fucking answer all the time. Like you're doing now, you always change the subject.
Tell him about the size of his head. It's huge.
It's the right frame, right?
But I'm really okay if the Leafs lose at the first round or don't get out of the second round. I'll be okay with it forever because that whole thing makes me laugh even fucking harder. Then I am a fan, right? It's like Pete, you laugh. Pete's an influencer. Creek Pete, too. You can get him everywhere. That's why he's on the show. We want to get into some of the fun shit today, some of the things he likes and doesn't like. We're going to talk about hot dogs, vodka, and politics and media. But to that point, if you're a real fan, right, you can totally see someone's bias when it comes to subjects like this. Who's the best? Who's the best defensive player? Who's the best player right now? Who's the best active player? And we were talking about him ahead of time. And it's fucking amazing to me because people do that now with politics, right? People are like, that's my guy. And you're like, what about these things? And you're like, don't care that those things don't exist to me. You ignore every fact. You ignore anybody else's conversation because you're so emotionally attached to the idea that your guy is the best or is one of the best, right, Pete? Isn't that us? Aren't we just like hockey fanning politics at this point?
I think that's the overall scope of politics right now, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm not. See, and this is the thing. I think there might be a misconception about me, like being this liberal Trudeau fanboy partisan guy. And
you don't ask Trudeau's D? You don't ask Trudeau's D like all of us?
No. I mean, I think If I go back my voting record, I probably voted conservative more than I voted liberal.
Yeah,
right?
And you know what? That's funny. Listen, I want to touch quickly on the hockey thing that Dean brought up.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think there's always been the hockey fans that can have a discussion like we just had, where I know Dean, when he gets on the podcast, he goes, I'm going to mess with Lachlan. I'm going to talk about that Austin Matthews is.
No, he's really the best player in the history of the NHL, both ways.
So, and then we can have a little bit of fun with it, right? But then there's those hockey players where if their team loses on a Saturday night, can't have sex with their wife for 4 days. That's always been a thing. Right. They're so angry, their blood stops flowing to their penises, right? Like, so I think we have always had that separation in sports. There's always been the sports donkeys. There's been those guys that, like, literally after their team loses. Remember that Buffalo Sabres fan we brought on?
Yeah,
that guy
Dwayne Steinel. He means it with his whole life.
He was a wreck. Yeah, like, he literally has to take every relationship off work.
When you're willing to destroy every relationship in your life and put your employment in question because you rage about something that you can't control, like fucking sports or politics.
That guy has always been around.
Those are my favorite people. And then when you watch a guy like Pete, I'm going to play something for you. You watch a guy like Pete talk about what he loves. And he loves talking about two things, if I'm not mistaken, Pete. Media and the absolute abatement of responsibility in politics, and how stupid we are buying any of this shit, right? Like, that's the thing that I love about Pete, and he takes this half-hearted approach. Like, we should be taking in these hockey conversations, and I'll bring one up right now because he's fucking brilliant at it. And Pete and I met, actually, and we'll get to the story in just a second, a couple of months ago. But if you look at, take the eclipse, for example, yesterday. The politicization of the eclipse.
Oh fuck, dude!
It was everywhere, wasn't it, Pete? How do you describe it? How do you describe everybody taking a 1 in 400 year event and turning it into like political memes? Don't look up. Look at this. How do you describe that?
It's just absolute stupidity. I mean, it really is. And then the irony. I mean, if you play the video, the irony of what they were saying and just the lack of. Here's the best part. The lack of common sense in all of it, right? Given that the conservative campaign is all about common sense, and then just the complete lack of it in their memes and in their postings, I can't help but laugh about it. I can't.
Yeah. But is this a political, like, did the Pierre Poilievre campaign put this out?
There was like a bunch of MPs that are tweeting this meme.
Okay. Dude, so Canada Proud put this together, the official meme agent, the guy's suing me for suggesting that they Canada Proud put this out literally a day after the Republican Party put this out, if I'm not mistaken. Right. So it's like, it's not only is it unoriginal,
so they're like copying.
How do we attach ourselves in pure stupidity?
I want
to
see
to a solar eclipse, and how do we get people to vote for our guy? It's fucking crazy.
I swear we are in the dumbest timeline. The dumbest. Can we please escape this timeline of pure stupidity? Like, I fucking can't. I can't. So you must have seen this meme already, because it's, you know, conservative MPs are passing it around, and then their troll bots from India are passing them around too. I mean, okay, so let's just think about this logically here. Conservatives, think about this logically. It's a solar eclipse today. So what you're saying here is Pierre Poilievre is going to bring darkness upon our country. That's what you're saying here. Do you fucking not understand? I can't. And I know we're not supposed to compare Pierre Poilievre's movement of stupid slogans to the MAGA movement. They're exactly the same. 100%, they're exactly the same. But then, they're passing around the same memes, because this current conservative movement has three barely functioning brain cells that they all share. Like,
I actually think that's kind of smart. No?
No, do you not understand how an eclipse works, Pete? Can you explain it to Lachlan?
I do understand, but I like the meme. I think it's funny.
It's ridiculous. It's not funny. Explain it to him so he understands it, Pete.
He obviously gets it, right? But just the principle of it, right? Like, first off, I mean, the eclipse only lasted a minute anyways, too. So Pierre's going by. Oh, there's Pierre, and then he's gone, right? I mean, like, it's so stupid, right?
But the thing is, I mean, I'm not defending it because it is dumb, but
it doesn't make any common sense. It's like the eclipse plunges everything into darkness. And so what they're doing is they're getting ready for the eclipse. Here comes the fucking darkness. Everybody.
Even PP being the moon, right? Like a dead planet. But, I mean, I still find it entertaining from the perspective that they're trying to do something with something everybody is talking about, right? Like, and that's where
a stretch, dude.
That's where we're them. At. Well, that's what everybody does content.
But you can't, hang on.
That does content is doing the same thing.
To Pete's point, we all have to look past a picture and go, let's break this down. He's suggesting in their fucking meme excellence that Pierre Poilievre is the fucking darkness and he's going to come and plunge the world into darkness. And to his point, if they're calling him the new eclipse, it's like, hey, is other than just cool for a minute, like 1 minute, it's pretty fucking weird. Like,
my problem, I get what you're saying, Lachlan. I get it, right? You watch.
Everyone's trying to be cute.
Right. I get that. Also, what's dumbing down everything in this society, right?
Oh, like, that's the better.
That's
point.
What the problem is, and that's what I find more funny than anything else. Like, I get the concept of the memes, I get it, but also we have a huge section of our population that only get their information from fucking stupid memes like that, right?
And that's the more terrifying thing. Whether the fact that they're using memes is just part of them trying to fit into the culture of what politics is now, and I understand it from that perspective. I think it's fun that you guys saw past it and broke it down, and that you're developing content from it, Pete. But that's the more terrifying thing, I think, of it.
I agree 100%.
Our society now is driven, like, they hire people to put memes out, and it's part of their campaign, Pete. That's fucking terrifying.
Is.
And they take that.
100% is.
But here's the thing. I kind of love it. And I'll tell you why. Because the more I think about, like 4 years of people who think that's a gotcha meme running this country, I might be interested in that. That's fucking clickbait central. Right. Like, sort of how when everybody says, hey, listen, we should take all the trans athletes, mix them into the Olympics, and have open categories for everybody. That overly inclusive category that doesn't really understand how this shit works, like the over-inclusive stuff. I'm of the opinion you should really upset the fruit basket just for one Olympics, just to see what fucking happens, right? Let's get them all together in the same thing. Let's let the inmates run the asylum once, just one time. And if we can do that and we want to see what happens, we'll never do that again. It's like these fucking crazy consequences, to your point. So are you trying to warn people that this is going to be bad for Canada? Or are you like me where it's like, you know, it's kind of a toss up. It might be really fun for a few years.
Well, so in regards to that, so like this whole axe the tax thing, right? Yeah. So my thing is Trudeau, cut the fucking tax right now. Empty. Just stop it right now.
That's what he should do. Yeah.
He should do that. Because what's going to happen is grocery prices aren't going to go down. Gas prices will go down for a week, and then the gas companies are just going to raise the price back up again. and then what's going to happen? Like, all those fucking talking points, all those stupid slogans mean absolutely nothing. And that's – so I don't know, man. It's just – I agree with you, Dean. Let's get all those grievances together.
Yeah.
Do it. Go nuts. And then see what happens, right? And then
what I find more interesting, though, is I find it more like why wouldn't he do that? It seems like
because we have to meet our agreements, right?
I get that, but we have legal obligations. They always find loopholes.
Yeah,
they always find loopholes around it.
Totally. Well, right? Yeah. You know, countries run by assholes, they do. But he's trying to stick to the nature of this Kyoto Agreement and other worldwide agreements we've made, which have legally binding contracts that are associated with trade, tariffs, et cetera, et cetera. So we actually have an obligation, as did the United States. Donald Trump pulled themselves out of that, but he's a rapist who got charged with 91 different indictments and tried to commit treason against his own country. So, like, we can say you can take yourselves out of that. And to Lachlan's point, and to your point, I don't disagree. They would have no talking points because it's a stupid fucking tax. And I don't even give a shit about the tax. I don't care about any tax. And that's the truth. Everybody gets so angry about the tax. And I'm like, fuck, I'm not going to see it. I'm going to get it back. I don't care. It doesn't change my life on a daily basis. But to your point, Pete, and to Lachlan's point, I see hundreds of protests erupting across the country over something that's going to net people money at some point. And I'm like, all taxes are bad. And I get it. Well, what are we wasting our time on? Which is why I find your fucking video so funny, because you laugh your way through this, and you've got people out there. I don't know if you saw the video from Alberta where the woman's screaming at a cop in the middle of the road, like about carbon taxes, like losing her fucking mind. And I'm like, I'm finding all of this funny now. Like, I am not intimidated or threatened by any of it.
Me neither. I laugh at it too, because it is really that, it really is that stupid, right? Yeah. Like you're parking your car, running it on idle for fucking a week now. And what is it that you're wasting more gas that you're spending it on, right? Like, it just makes no fucking sense.
Well, the tax conversation I find very frustrating, because two things.
Me too. I don't even want to have it.
Yeah, two things for me. It drives me insane. Because for some reason the left virtue signals with taxes when,
like, it's a good thing.
Like, it's a, defending it. And I'm like, how, like, we're living in a time right now where, man, people are having, it's more difficult now to pay your bills and live and just function as a family than it has been ever. And again, I know when you're highlighting one and then they take it, but they give it back and then you might make more money. It drives me absolutely insane. And I agree with you.
Like, I'm not a fan of the carbon tax. And my video, I don't go to bat for the carbon tax.
You point out the hypocrisy of...
It's just about the hypocrisy of it. It's just like, you're making this tax the cause of all of our problems in the world, when it's just
that's the mistake they're making, right? Because it's not that, it's more than that. And that's why I get frustrated when we have these conversations and we're dunking on people, like those, like the woman yelling at the cop.
Right? Oh no, like, if you saw the video, you'd have dunked on her.
Stupid.
Too.
I did watch the video. It's dumb. And it's hard not to poke meds. Fun at that type of thing. Meds. But the issue that I have with it overall is that that is taking our eye off the ball on the bigger picture, right? The same thing happened to COVID. You guys don't know what you're talking about. We're losing our brand. No, we're not. And we lost the conversation got lost, and we were unable to have the conversation that we needed to have, which was, we made some mistakes and the unintended consequence of the lockouts. And I mean, I know two people that drank themselves to death in COVID because they didn't cope well. Now, did Alberta? They have positions that everybody? No, one was in Vancouver, BC.
Sad.
Right?
But to circle back on that, right? And then that's exactly where I go with it too, because we circle back to the memes that spread stupid shit, right? Yeah. And that's where they're getting that idea from, right? So it comes back to that, where it goes, we're doing this campaign on dumb memes that spread disinformation. People believe it, right? And then they can't cope with the fact of, you know, somewhat reality that's not necessarily in that meme that they're believing, right?
Yeah.
So that's where the problem is.
Like, a lot of the freedom people yesterday that were protesting, I heard this, they were really upset not to see Pierre Poilievre's face as the actual moon during the eclipse. They're like really upset. Then they started blaming Trudeau, calling him a tyrannical dictator.
See, yeah, the dunking stuff is I'm over it, right? Like for me, Pete, the thing with you that I like is you're calling out what I think needs to be called out is a lack of responsibility in the press. And that's, I've had two or three conversations in the last couple of weeks that, and again, I'm naive on some things, but I think I also sort of cling to the idea that there's hope out there. And Dean pointed out to me that he brought up a couple of people that get paid to propagate a message.
Lobbyists.
And get brought onto panels in the media. And I was like, come on.
Crazy.
Come on. You get, like, please don't tell me that. And he goes, no. I know for a fact this guy gets paid around this amount of money. I could be off. It's grapevine shit, but I heard this guy gets paid this guy gets paid that. And I'm like, we should talk about that. And he's like, we should. So calling out the media right now, I think, is more important, and it's the bigger message. And I think if you don't like Pete's overall arching theme from his, listen closely to what he says, because when he's pointing stuff, yes, he's making a point about how stupid we are to believe in this thing. And if you're one of those people that believes it and got caught in the lie, you might be upset. But the overarching theme from Pete is, listen, there's some shit that's being fed down the pipeline that should be called out by our media, and it just isn't. And I think that's the next step for anybody angry enough to write on a sign and head down to a border crossing or the ledge. You got to start saying what needs to be said. And the people that are passing on the information to us need to be held accountable as well. And that is not fucking happening right now.
No. And our media essentially are stenographers, right? They don't have, they've lost that basic principle of fact checking. And that's my biggest problem, right? So like, I don't care if you do it to Trudeau, or if you do it to Polyev, or if you do it to Jagmeet Singh. I don't care. Just if they make a statement, don't just repeat it. Like, if they're making a statement of fact, I don't know if you have the other video of one of Polyev.
Which one? The one with PP in the face? That one? Like, or is it the other one with the
one person that he's talking about?
Yeah. I got it here.
Closing prices in Vancouver.
Yeah, right. I'll play it here. Is it this one? This one. Hang on. Is it this?
What is the number one cost to building a new home in Vancouver today? Land?
Yeah.
Labor? Lumber? No. Permits? Government represents 60% of the cost of a newly 60%. Built home in Vancouver today. 60%.
What?
So 40% is what you use to pay for the worker, for all the lumber, and the drywall.
That's clearly nonsense. Just clear, absolute bullshit. Canadian media, here's your opportunity. It's an easy fact check. He's saying a percentage. As a matter of fact, and it's your job to fact check that. I mean, what the fuck? And I know we're not supposed to compare him to Trump and stuff, but they're literally lying about crowd sizes now too. Like, come on. 2,000 people, except the venue can't even come close to that. Like, not what? What's going on? Again, media, I know that she's your darling, Miss X. Pierre's ex, she's your darling, but I mean, these are easily fact-checkable claims, right? This is your job. It's your job. There was another massive report of interference in our elections here in Canada, but I guess it's not that big of a deal because it's not getting 24/7 coverage. Like, if it was something to do with Trudeau, right? But it's for the Conservatives, so they're just gonna sweep that under the rug. That's interesting, right? But the biggest story right now is the carbon tax, right? Because April 1st, it's going up 3 cents. I'm sorry, 23%, which is equal to $7 billion or something. I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's the only focus right now because the premiers who are allowing energy companies to gouge us, they want to scapegoat the carbon tax, of course, because that 3 cents, that's what's causing the world's problems. Not corporate profits. No, not at all. Anyway, have a good one. Bye.
The Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by FactCheck.io. FactCheck.io, makers of the world's most comprehensive fact-checking software, that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact-check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact-check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, so that you can give yourself agency over information in the age of disinformation. Again, want to beta test their product? They're going to launch it in the next month or two. Go to factcheck.io today. FactCheck.io. Back to the show. As always, the Dean Blundell Show is brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? The good people at FactCheck are a quorum of software professionals, psychological professionals, journalists that have been very busy building some software so that you can fact check anything that you read. It doesn't matter. If it's got a URL, you'll be able to fact check it. Alternative sources, origins, whether or not it was an organic or inorganic campaign, whether or not you can trust the people that are putting out the information, and alternative sources. And there's going to be a weapon button too, where you can turn that information around and put it back out there accurately to combat disinformation. The good people at factcheck.io are right now testing their beta version of their free program. Yes, it will be free for anybody who wants to use it. They want to battle disinformation because it is a problem. Go to factcheck.io today. FactCheck.io. FactCheck.io. The world's most robust fact-checking disinformation software for news, social media, video, print, anything spoken word. These people are on the tip. And they use some of the finest software technology to be able to give you the advantage when it comes to getting agency back in your life, when it comes to information that you read. Go to factcheck.io today for more information. Sign up for the beta test, FactCheck.io. I like that, a little peak, a little Creek Pete. I always call you Pete Creek for some reason, a little Creek Pete. But to your point, and I think Lachlan, it's a great question. You know, you talk about the media that traditionally used to be able to cover that stuff. They go, this person said this today. Here are the facts around it. You get none of that anymore. Just get the reporting of what he said.
But you just don't get
none of that's accurate. By the way, about 10 to 15% of any new build is permits. That's it. It's not 60%. 60. No,
right.
It's between 10 to 15%. Now, you work in a business, Pete, that requires permits, right? Like when you see when people are putting in houses, you know, doing backyards and stuff like that. So you understand that to be true. So and that's the frustrating part. And listen, to Lachlan's point, as much as I don't want to agree with him, that ecosystem, the media ecosystem, does all of that to remain accessible to these people, right? They
that's it. Yes.
Yeah.
They're too close. Yeah. Right. That's exactly the problem, especially with, you know, the lobbyist person within the campaign of the conservatives. I mean, they're all friends. Yeah. Right. And that's why they're not really calling out that bullshit, because they're all in the same bubble.
Yeah.
And there's also something else about that, though. There's something else about that.
Go ahead.
I don't want to lose this point. No. There's so many conversations right now from content creators, whether it's liberal, conservative, about the fatigue of what's happening right now on the air. And trust me, I was just in it. And it's happening. It happens between Dean and I. It happens between CTV's executives and who's delivering the news at 5 o'clock. It happens with people online that are just creating content. There is a major conversation about how to handle this stuff because of what's happening in the States. Pete, you pointed it out multiple times about how the conservatives are using the playbook down in the States. And part of the playbook is, we can say anything. It doesn't matter what we say. They're going to believe it. And if anybody calls us out, it's going to be even believed even more. Look at the Trump phenomenon. So everyone's terrified to make any comments one way or the other.
Right.
And politics is also buying into it as well on all sides. Mm-hmm. Like we pointed out the carbon tax increase on April 1st, Dean and I, and the fact that the provincial government took a provincial tax on gas and a relief of that tax, and it pulled it on April 1st. Why do you think Danielle Smith did that? Because she knows that 35% of the population is just going to believe that the 30-cent increase in gas on April 1st was Justin Trudeau's fault.
Right.
So we're caught in this cycle right now, and it's very poisonous to the point where you're having a problem. Like, it's not even about I believe in this or I'm a Justin Trudeau fan or I'm a conservative or anything like that. It's about pissing off somebody and somebody going after you online. And like, not a day goes by that I don't get called out for being friends with Dean or working with Dean based on his position politically. And don't he's not even a fucking liberal. And I'm like, you don't understand Dean. You don't get it. You listen to the podcast. Well, you're clearly a Nazi.
Us having the common sense and being able to have a conversation.
We've lost it. Right?
Sailed. I completely agree. I mean, I get called a paid liberal actor every single day. I get death threats almost on a daily basis. It's so stupid, right? Like, and the irony again, it comes from the crowd that says that they're all about free speech and freedom and blah, blah, blah. And then yet, as soon as anybody says anything against their kind of narrative, then it's like, oh, we fucking hate you and you should die. Right.
Oh, yeah. The death threats or something else. And that's the thing that makes me laugh. Like, we were supposed to take a really kind of fun approach to this. Lachlan's getting very serious about this topic today. It's very serious.
No, I'm not getting serious. Listen,
dude, who cares?
I have conservative, again, I'm not a liberal partisan. I've never donated to the liberals. I've never donated to any liberal political party, period. I'm just a guy that looks at stuff and sees the connection, and some people are just not are missing those connections, right?
Well, they don't want to see them, right? Because when they get those connections in a meme, to Lachlan's point, to your point, they're like, ammunition, this is going to be sweet. I can get some fucking friends today because I'm lonely. Right. And that works for everybody online, right? The extremes on the left, the extremes on the right, the overly inclusive people. Like, someone the other day tweeted at me, they're like, you're a fucking asshole. I'm like, why is that? And they're like, because you didn't say anything about the national day of observance for the asexual people. It was like National Asexuality Day. And I'm like, fuck off.
I don't pay attention to that shit either.
Block. But it's like, you can get in trouble now. You can get death threats, literally. And you can get called out, which is why I don't take any of this shit seriously anymore, right? Yeah. Because you can get called out for what you don't tweet now.
Right.
You didn't stand up for asexual individuals today, Dean. Fuck you. And I'm like, oops, didn't know, because it was Orange Day. It was National Cucumber Day. It was National, you know, fucking Foolscap Paper Day. It was National, hey, let's go to get an ice cream day. So, hey, whatever. Sure. Good for you. Congratulations.
I got in trouble from some leftist friends for saying the word dumb. And apparently that's a bad word now. Right. I mean, just shut up. Really?
Doesn't it come down to this, though? Like, literally, let me ask you guys this question. Let me ask you this question. Before we get to 4 more liters of vodka, hot dogs, and a couple other things, let me ask you a question. Doesn't it come down to just the most scared people on both sides of the equation that are just scared because they don't quite understand what's going on? They're just believing these things as opposed to connecting dots. And it doesn't matter who you are. Our biggest problem is that. And to your point, Pete, and to Lachlan's point, the absolute co-signing of all of that dribble by newspaper outlets in the media in this country who don't really give a fuck about reporting anything accurately or calling things out. They care about maintaining access. To Lachlan's point earlier, sports donkeys. It's why they don't say, hey, Connor McDavid got drunk in California last week. They don't want to lose their parking spot. At newspapers, they don't want to lose like access to Danielle Smith and this person and that person and maybe some government money they might be able to get. And so the frustration for guys like Pete, like, we are in it, Locke. Like, we know how absolutely ruthlessly corrupt and collusive media is with politics. For a guy like Pete,
I've been trying to ignore it for years.
We can't. For a guy like Pete, he's like, what the fuck is happening? Like, we've always known about it, and we've just kind of accepted it in defeat, right? We're like, yeah, whatever. But to Pete's point, and he's 100% right, he's like, I thought the whole idea behind free media was that you kept track of this shit.
Right. Instead of just opinions. Instead of just opinions, right? Yeah. Like, I don't care and I don't want to, again, say names, right? But there's like a whole bunch of fucking really old opinion guys that are still just like shitting out their opinions. And I don't care. I don't care about your opinion. I care about facts. So let's get back to, you could, you know what, in this kind of forum with the three of us talking, we can talk about our opinions, right? Absolutely. That's what this is for. But if I'm looking to a news source media, I want fucking facts. I don't want somebody's opinion. That's it. Give me the facts of what is your subject that you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we can make our own opinions, right? I don't want to pay somebody pay for a newspaper for somebody's opinion about something that because they're biased, right? Like, I don't care about political bias.
They got in paid the news to present that opinion.
Right.
Right. Like, that's the thing that drives me crazy. And the thing is, as well, the other problem I have with it, the other sticking point I have with it is that during COVID, this is the first time I'd ever seen this in my entire career. First off, I spent a long time in front of a mic for terrestrial radio. And not once did anybody ever sit me down and tell me I had to present an opinion that was based on somebody that was paying my bill or somebody, a client. That never happened. But as soon as COVID hit, I started getting all these messages from people on Facebook and on Twitter and on our text line accusing me of representing, Pete, you'll love this, both sides, depending on what came out of my mouth. Literally to the, and this is how bad it got to a point where I started commenting back with, oh, yes, I'm sorry, I'm off script. I forgot to grab the facts from Justin this morning.
Oh, shit.
So now I've never been approached. No one's ever offered me money to propagate any kind of opinion whatsoever. Yeah. So I just assumed that it wasn't happening. I kind of knew at the back of my mind that it was.
Can I stop you for one second?
Yes, yes, you can.
And just to clarify with all the people that are going to be watching this, I am not paid to do this. I'm not. I don't get paid for my TikToks. That's the every second comment that I get is, oh, you're a paid liberal actor. Blah,
so you're
blah,
not
blah,
a paid liberal shill, correct?
No, I'm not a paid liberal shill.
Okay,
no.
Not done.
But if you somebody have wants never to pay asked, me to make TikToks, never, I'll fucking do it.
You've never, me too.
No.
You've never asked Trudeau's D?
No, never. Never.
I get that every day.
Sorry to disappoint. Trudeau,
I'm on TikTok. Trudeau, does that make me a Chinese spy?
Are you, yeah, are you exactly a Trudeau right. D-licker? Yes or no?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you a liberal operative?
No.
No. Okay.
No.
I am.
Oh, yeah? Okay. We knew it!
I want people to believe I am, though. No, I hate them all.
See, what they'll do is they'll cut that little piece out, right?
Yeah.
We knew it all along. And it's on the fucking memes. And it's the CBC HQ is posted it, right?
Yeah, I'm a liberal operative. I get my little sunglasses out. I get my fucking little beat hat on. I put a little thing on, a little show. And I skulk around, like, you know, places where the bad people are. And I report them.
I will say this, though. If you're taking money from some political party to send a message on, I don't care what social media or if you're doing it on panels on CBC, you're the worst human being ever.
Can I explain to you how that works?
That drives me insane that's happening.
Let me explain to everybody what you're talking about.
What
you're talking about isn't about people giving you money just to tweet something. What you're talking about is lobbying. Now, Canada has an interesting history with lobbying because we've been taking venal bribes for a good 150 years. That's what this country was predicated on. There is a healthy industry of lobbyists that pretend they are reporters, pretend they are consultants, that pretend they are strategists, right?
Yeah.
That's what they pretend. Corey Tenike, Jenny Byrne. I mean, there's thousands of them.
Yeah.
These lobbyists, while working for political parties, like Jenny Byrne, who works for the Conservative Party of Canada and is Pierre Poilievre's pegger, if you will, on the other side of that, well, whatever. I mean, it's not literal; it's figurative,
right?
Of course. So you know, she's his master. She also works for a company called Loblaws. Are we familiar with that?
Right.
And she also goes on the news to talk about all of these things as if she doesn't have any interest in the political party. And if she doesn't have any interest in working for Loblaws, which pays her hundreds of thousands of dollars a year so that they can keep grocery prices high. So when when Jenny Byrne goes on CBC, she is a lobbyist and she's repeating messaging that she is telling Canadians is in their best interest that comes from who pays her. In this case, the Conservative Party of Canada pays her to torque messaging to tell Canadians it's really good for you to have religious fucking theocrats at the head of the table. And then she also has people saying, when you go on CBC, we're going to pay you thousands of dollars to go on CBC. Pretend that you're part of our team and you pretend that you're Canadian, but you're really getting paid by Loblaws to tell them it's really good for you to pay five times more for chicken this year than you did 2 years ago.
Right.
Tell them it's really good. And so they couch.
And then blame the carbon tax for that.
And then blame Justin Trudeau for the things that they're doing.
We all know it's Justin's fault.
Of course it is. I'm also a conservative operative. I didn't know if I told you that. I'm a conservative operative and I'm a liberal operative.
Just switch your hats.
I got red on one side, blue on the other. It's what I do. And so when you see people in the news, like CBC's Power and Politics, and they're talking about things, they are paid to lie to you.
Oh my God, that drives me crazy.
On behalf of these political parties, but they're not only paid by the political parties to lie to you about the reality and the facts with which they are dealing with in public, they're also paid by corporations at the same time. So they're double dipping. Like someone like Jenny Byrne, she's sometimes quadruple dipping on the same piece of information to be able to go out there and tell you that your reality is better.
And we don't know that for a fact, saying that out loud, because
that is a fact. That is a fact.
Probably,
I know who these people are. I know
probably
how much
a good
paid.
Point to just suggest that maybe some of this information might not be true.
Don't
allegedly.
Don't sue me.
So in the case of being sued, Canada Proud, also considered a lobby group. And let me explain that to you.
Yeah.
They parade around like they're legitimately a media organization.
Right.
They only work in Canada with the Conservative Party of Canada and their affiliates to create memes like the one that we just saw. That was their meme, the one about the eclipse. And then they attach fundraisers and donations on the bottom of it. Help, you know, Canada needs to go in a better direction. You got to give us a bunch of money. The latest fundraising effort I've had from the Conservative Party of Canada in my email, this is fucking hilarious, was about the eclipse. Don't wait. And it had three places to donate in an email that was no more than a paragraph and a half long.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, fucking, this is unbelievable.
Well, they all do it. Every party, I'm sure, does that too, right? Like,
oh, yeah.
The NDP does the same.
But he's not.
So does the Liberals, right?
But he's not. What he's not telling you, though, is that he keeps removing himself from that list and they keep re-adding him.
They ignore it. Fuck you. You're not leaving, man.
Somebody's trolling Dean.
Totally.
So every time he hits unsubscribe on that email, someone puts him back on the main.
But to your point about the panelists, right? Like there was that when that whole, you know, the dude that was in Parliament with, you know, the Nazi past or whatever it was, right? I remember watching a CBC panel, or I saw clips of it anyway, and you know, and one of the conservative guy was like, oh, you know, I know. That Trudeau didn't invite this guy because he was a Nazi or whatever. But, you know, the Conservatives are playing politics and we're just going to blame it on him anyway. We're going to say that, you know, he invited the Nazi and that was the thing. And, you know, playing politics is a really politically correct way of saying why, right? And that's the one thing that drives me fucking crazy. It's like, you know, you're lying. You're admitting that you're lying. You're just framing it in a really nice way.
And for some reason, we can talk it away by just saying, oh, but that's politics.
Yeah,
that's plain politics.
Oh,
this is just a straight up lie, right?
Yeah. And we don't like to fact check, do we, to your point? Like, it's not like we have a bunch of people in Canada right now going, you know what? I saw a tweet today that concerned me, and I'm going to do just a little research on that tweet when I get home so that I'm not influenced either way. We're like this fire hose. Let me drink from a fire hose of that shit. Let me get a. Like, that's exactly what we are now.
I do think, though, we have created a, I don't know, the best way of putting this.
I think we're too influenced by the Americans. That's our problem.
We are, but we've also created this type of personality that gets up every day and is, and this happens on the right and it happens on the left. You probably got a guy at work like this, that every day he comes in, all he wants to talk about is Trump. Right. Like, and everybody in the office just nods and agrees and hopes that they don't run into him at the coffee machine. Right. Or her.
Right.
There's, I don't know if that guy existed 10 years ago, but he exists and she exists now. And that person is so far gone and so in their bubble and they're in their spiral.
Back to the hockey thing, though, too, right? Like, it's that like, you're not paying attention to any facts. You're not paying attention to any. You're just like, hey, I am just in love with this team. Yeah. He's my guy. Like,
and disregard anything that deviates from that, right?
The perspective to realize that it's just a game.
Right.
Like, well, that's the separation, I think, that we're having right now. Because I've had moments where I've had, like, people, coworkers, friends, my wife say to me, Locke, you got to turn the news off. You got to stop. I can't have this conversation with you anymore. Right. And I see that in other people in my life as well, right? Where they're spiraling. They're obsessed with it. And that's why I say to Dean all the time, Dean, Twitter's not the real world. It just isn't. Right. And I'm guessing Pete, your wife has probably said that to you too, a couple of times.
Of course.
My problem is that
because I start getting trolled, right? And then my problem is that I know that they're fucking bots. I know it, but they say something so stupid, and I'm like,
you have to respond to the bot. Oh God, I love you, Pete.
Dude, right? How's your block?
I just have to, and it's like my wife's looking at me. She's like, she knows my face, right? Because I'll get like this fucking fucking dick, like, you know, right? And she knows my face. She's like, can you just stop for a minute? Like, give me a break, right? And I'm like,
she knows you.
Okay.
Yeah. How's your block game, Pete?
Yeah, what is it like?
Oh, I block like a motherfucker, man. Like,
have you got a number? What's your number?
I'd have to look, but on TikTok, I mean, because I try to keep my follower list, like, with real people as well, too, right? Like, I don't let the bots follow me, like, because what they also do is they, like, the bot swarm follow you and then they mass report you and then you get booted off the platform for no reason, right? So I try to keep it with people that are real and that actually engage in good faith. So if I see a bunch of, like, I'll go look at who they're following or who their followers are. And if they have a whole bunch of porn bot followers, like, they get removed right away. So. And then also, if you come into my comment section and then just regurgitate stupid things on every video, done. Like, you're gone.
Yeah, Dean's up over 13,000 or something.
I was just looking. I got it right now. I got some rules.
Kids, I'm your eager beaver.
And I'm Mr. Grizzly.
If you love politics
or hate politics,
then have we the perfect podcast for you.
The True North Eager Beaver.
Incisive political commentary.
We keep you up to date
and give you the political and media literacy you seek
to help you
cut through the bovine fecal matter.
Facts first.
Sound analysis.
Sometimes I growl.
Sometimes I sass.
We impart civics and build community.
And we share some laughs along the way.
Being informed
and engaged has never been more fabulous
or sexy. Catch us on the Dean Blundell Network or on our YouTube channel
or wherever you get your podcasts,
because democracy is something you do.
And they've saved my life over the past year. I'm at 12,142 accounts that I've blocked just on Twitter. It's the only thing I use, to be honest with you, because other people manage the other shit.
He's a little loose on his blocking, though.
I know, that's how Pete and I met.
Yeah.
So I get a DM from somebody and they're like, hey, this guy just put up a video and wants to know why you blocked him. And I'm like, probably for very good reasons. And so I went and watched the video and I'm like, oh, I like Pete. I shouldn't have blocked Pete. I didn't know that I blocked Pete, but, like, I'm on such a fucking block heater that sometimes I'm like,
it was I commented on a video of you, reposted a video of mine.
You were trying to be funny.
Commented, like, thanks, bro. And he blocked me on it.
Yeah, that does not surprise me. None of this surprises me.
I did none it to of Steve this Boots is too.
At all surprising.
I did it to Steve Boots. I get a note from someone who's like, hey, watch this video. It's Steve Boots, who's great. He's like another really, he's a smart guy. He's a teacher out in Saskatchewan. He's got a massive YouTube channel. He's really accountable, very funny, super dry and sarcastic. He's really good. And someone sends me this video and I watch it. It's like, hi, I'm Steve. I have no idea why Dean Blundell blocked me. He did. And if anybody can reach out to him and let him know that, like,
once
a week. I'm retweeting his videos too. That's the other thing. I'm retweeting Pete's videos. I'm retweeting this guy's videos, but I have blocked them somewhere along the way where it's like, I don't know if I've done it. So sometimes people get caught up in the vortex and block. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Pete. We're great friends now. My apologies.
Oh, you're forgiven, buddy.
That doesn't mean he's not going to block you. He blocks me once a week.
He's blocking me after this episode. We're done. See you, buddy.
No, I won't do that. I promise.
I get somebody contacting me, I'd say once a week with, I don't know why Dean blocked me. And I'm like, Jesus. I used to send Dean like these long emails, like long notes. And I just stopped. I'm just like, listen, he's a dick. You're just going to have to live with it. I don't know what to say.
He doesn't care. And that's the thing is that Twitter is not the public square. It is. It's a private company that's owned by a dude. That account is not mine, but I can control it. And I don't like it when people walk into the front door of my house and take a dump on the fucking area rug.
Right.
So.
Yeah, but Pete didn't take a dump on the area rug. He just made a comment and you blocked him. See, so
dude,
you have
a little hair
you need to
trigger,
revisit your blocking. You need to revisit some of your blocking strategies,
or give them a three strike rule.
You're
right?
Hurting people.
Let's pivot back to the sports and give them a three strikes.
Yeah, but I can't keep track of all the times people call me a cuck or a Trudeau D-ester. Like I can't. Like, how am I going to do that? Oh, that's one strike for Johnny 9699.
Oh yeah, user number 743441. Right.
I kind of have a Pete rule, but the three strike thing works for me. Like I'll give somebody a chance because sometimes
you keep track
I miss
with 44,000 followers.
No. I don't keep track. But I mean, if it's a thread that's happening, right? Where I like if somebody calls me a tool or whatever, I'm like, hey, thanks. You have a great day. And then if they double down, I'm like, all right, we're blocking you. Right. But because I've had this happen to me multiple times where somebody will make a comment and I will miss, like, I'll like they're trying to be funny or sarcastic.
You don't pick up on it.
And I'll lose that because I'll lose the subtlety of it. So then I'll fire back with an asshole comment and then they're like, oh, hold on. I was trying to be funny. And I'm like, oh, okay. Hold on.
I've done it too.
The brakes.
Now the best way to do it now, if you're going to block people, and we'll let Pete go because he's got to go to his day job after this. Looks like you got some jenkins
like
fermenting in the background too behind you, like some butt hash in that jar behind you. Is that just a vase?
It's just a fancy vase.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
The wife picked it out.
Okay. Sorry. So the one thing I will say this is that I think it's probably the best idea when someone says something to you and you're not too sure how to take it is to go through their feed for like four tweets.
Right.
You need three, four tweets. You look at their bio. You look at three, four tweets.
You don't do any of this.
The first four tweets are like just.
I do. I legitimately do. I really do.
Sometimes I do. But this saves me when I'm not too sure about the person, right? Like, is that a sarcastic comment? Is it not a sarcastic comment?
Yeah.
I know U.S. Trudeau's D is not someone I want in my timeline. So what I do is I look at the first four tweets, and if I see a picture of like, you know, a trans book reading on fire, that's when I'm like,
what about
okay. And it's like all of it. You can see it in the first four tweets, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what about Justin Trudeau may be Castrol's son? Cause that I love. God. I've retweeted that a couple of times, Pete.
I got to be honest. So have I.
Come on,
I still find that funny.
They look so much alike, Pete.
No, but I've retweeted it.
They have to be
under the auspices, not that it's true, but that it's just still funny. Like it doesn't matter.
I literally had it in my comments.
I don't even care.
Did you really?
I had it yesterday. Yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
I have to.
Trudeau's Castro. He's going back to Cuba.
We can all appreciate that. We don't have a problem with it.
Yeah.
We really
but
don't.
No, but again, this is what comes up, right? It comes to that, to go again, because he's also a pedophile, right?
Yeah.
And that's the shit where I get pissed off because we just like, you have to be an idiot to still believe that, right? Like you have to be legitimately a dumb person. And if you're either a dumb person or you're a liar, right? So that's
and it's intentional. Either way. Yeah.
It is.
Well, I'll get my dumb hat on because I still think that he is Castro's son.
Speaking of which, Lachlan has brought up.
And then when we run him out of Canada, he is going to go to Cuba, Pete. He is.
He's going to Cuba, man.
Do you want to mention to people why you've put up this shirt on our screen and ignored talking about it for the last couple minutes?
This is the I Was Blocked by Dean Blundell t-shirt available on the Dean Blundell store. It's only $28 Canadian.
Sweet.
If you need the link, just send it to me and I'll fire it at you. I did get a chuckle when we put this shirt up. I had my t-shirt guy put this shirt up, Pete.
Yeah.
And then Dean quickly went on Twitter and promoted it. And I'm like, nice. You're promoting something that the blocked people on your list would buy. And they're all blocked.
Well, I also said in that when the promotion of the tweet, I'm like, I'm going to have to unblock a good 11 or 12,000 people to sell one
in
shirt.
Order to sell. Yeah.
Right.
That's
we haven't sold any yet, Pete.
That's
we haven't sold
asked,
any.
Yeah. Surprisingly, that's when I asked a friend of mine, I'm like, so how do you sell t-shirts to people that you blocked on Twitter? And he's like, bad business idea.
Hey, I'm sure Elon is looking for ad campaigns, right? So there you go.
Yeah, exactly. Creek Pete, where can people find you, sir? Where can we find you? And by the way, I want everybody to take a page out of Pete's book. He's not mad at culture. He's mad at the lack of responsibility that we've taken into our information lives. Right. And the professionals that were paid to usher us through it have seemed to have taken a pass when it comes to being responsible journalists, right? So where can people find you, Pete?
So on Twitter, it's Creek Pete2, and on TikTok, it's Creek Pete.
Creek Pete, ladies and gentlemen, Pete from Hamilton, we'll let you go, brother. Will you come back again?
Anytime.
All right, anytime. Buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
That was awesome, Pete. Nice meeting you.
Yeah, nice guy. I like that guy. You know why I like him? He knows it's a joke and treats it like a joke. It's all a joke.
It is. And you know what? Serious. We need more of that. We need more of that. We definitely do.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That
was a great conversation.
Speaking of jokes, as I previously mentioned, you told a few when you were on the radio, didn't you?
I did. This ties into the conversation we were having yesterday. Yeah. Okay. And the locker room retro replay is brought to you by Arden Roof Systems. The golf tournament is happening on Friday, July 5th at the Ranch Golf and Country Club. If you go to any of my social media, there's a link to sign up, but a heads up, we're in April right now, and that's the early bird pricing to register a team or a foursome or two or whatever. You just go to the webpage and get any information you want there, but do it before the end of April, just based on the early bird pricing. So yesterday, I remember we had the conversation about, is there an Alberta accent? And I admitted that there was, and we kind of got into a bit of a disagreement about what it is. So this is a break that highlights the Alberta accents.
All right.
And you were kind of right in your vowels comment.
Well, before you play it, if I was kind of right in my vowels comment, are you going to apologize for yelling at me like you're my dad?
No. I told you that you were doing the get her done thing. And I was like, that's not it. That's how you were highlighting it. So I'm not apologizing.
All right. The Alberta accent in today's Locker Room Retro Replay of the Day, brought to you by Ardent Roofing Systems.
The Locker Room Retro Replay.
We had this conversation about the Alberta accent. I had numerous people reaching out to me last night. I don't know what to tell you. If you grew up here and you've lived here for 60 years and you haven't heard an Alberta accent,
you need to leave for a while and then come back.
That's on you.
Yeah.
Because 90% of the people that move to Alberta hear it right away.
Can I even say the Canadian accent's the same way? We don't hear it a lot of times until you leave and come back. I remember I was in London for a year, and I came back, and I was like, wow, we do talk slow. Yeah, we have we have an accent. And the Alberta accent is very real.
And yesterday, the conversation I've been having with a friend of mine, the guy that I do the podcast in the afternoon, Dean Blundell, he's like, "You guys have a Alberta accent." He's like, "Get her done." And I'm like, "That is not that's not it. It's subtle." Grant said, "You hear it occasionally, and I can tell right away you were born, raised here, and you probably never left."
Mm-hmm.
We put a video out yesterday of us talking about this. And within minutes, I had a text from a friend of mine who was born here and has a Alberta accent. Yeah. And he goes, "I don't know why you didn't think of me." He was actually upset. No. I had him send me audio. Mm-hmm. It's subtle. It's not geet or done.
Yeah.
It's subtle, but there is a Alberta accent.
So this is a typical Saturday for me. I'm out there working on the truck, right? Something's grinding, something's making some kind of crazy noises, probably the trannies chewed or whatever. The old lady peeks her head out the door, starts yelling across the neighborhood.
There it is.
We got some kind of dinner plans, we gotta go get in the house, get cleaned up. Yep. Right, because I'm all, it's okay, fine, give me 10 minutes here, I'm gonna choke down a dart, and then we'll
there it is.
The car, we'll go for a rip, we'll go get some dinner, right? Get fed. And then she's on me about her friends, you know, Stacy this and that. I don't give a whatever. We go to dinner. Everything's fantastic. And I tell her, "Look, I'm dead tired, man. I'm done for the day. Gonna go home, pound it's a few there. Beers, pass out. Got to be up crack of dawn. The oil field don't rest for nobody. My foreman's a dick, right? It is what it is. So we're going to do that." Saturday, man. Of course you work Sunday. It's Alberta, baby.
The way he says don't.
It's is in that the, it's in
accent
the vowels.
Or a verbiage? Because like he
no,
uses
it's an accent.
I'm gonna get rid.
It's a dialect.
It's Jesus, Jimmy,
dude, you crushed it.
Okay, so it's in the vowels.
Yeah,
and Mel grew up here, lived here his whole life, right in the balls of Edmonton. So he knew exactly what he was talking about. I had 30 people reach out to me yesterday after we ran the podcast about the Alberta accent.
Mm-hmm.
And one guy from again, remember I told you. When we had people from Ontario or other parts of Canada move here to Alberta in the boom times, mm-hmm. they would pick it up right away. And one guy suggested, what was his name? Russ. Russ said a good test word is what's behind me that's covered that the dog lies on? Say it.
Couch.
Okay, he said couch is a good way to test whether or not people have a, and I don't have an Alberta accent.
Couch. No, you say couch like I say couch. It's couch. It's coach out there. Coach. Oh, I got to sit on the couch. Like couch. I know I overdo it and I exaggerate it, but you're right.
Subtle.
It's this OU sort of drawl, right? It's that's what I'm saying. That's what
they hang
yesterday.
On it. Yeah,
and
I was trying
to talk like this. Hang
on.
I'm going to fucking take the old, dude, Mel Schmiller crushed it. Like he, you know what? Now that I'm, actually, I'm angry.
Why?
Because you're always angry. Because I fucking crushed it. I'm listening to Mel do the whole fucking get out there for the lady, right? The old lady, she wants us to get the fucking. And I'm like, I did that all yesterday. And you're like, that's not it. And you chastise me. You're like, you're hard on people. And then all of a sudden I listen to Mel. And he's literally doing an impression of my impression yesterday only months ago.
No, that's the way Mel talks.
Yeah.
So that wasn't an impression, and it wasn't geet or done. You're way past.
Do I add some things?
I'm trying to pull you back.
Yeah, yes. I know. It's, dude, yes. I overdid it so people knew what I was talking about. But to your point, we're more Americanized with our vowels out here. You're more Canadianized with your vowels out there. That's a nicer way to put it. Right?
Yeah.
But I was right.
I like
that was
Pete.
The accent. I do too. Do you think it has something to, by the way, just real quick, I know we talked a little bit about how fucking hard Alberta parties with these 4-liter vodka bottles.
Yeah.
That was for sale in a local thing. We had a little laugh about that yesterday. Take nothing.
Dude, those things are everywhere.
I know they are. Well,
I had to drive through the city yesterday because I have a friend that runs the service department at Kentwood Ford. So she's like, "God, bring your car if you ever need the tires flipped or whatever." So I had to go up north end of the city on 97th. And I saw that sign on two liquor stores. They're not only are we selling it, they're promoting that on signs outside the store to get people to come in.
Oh, that's a good loss leader. $44.95, by the way, for 4 liters of vodka in a plastic milk jug is a great deal. It's not the only deal in a 4 liter. You got the T-Rex vodka party jug.
Party jugs.
And Alberta, this happened just like yesterday. Not only did we make these jugs viral yesterday, apparently now the province of Alberta, the Alcohol, Liquor, and Gaming Commission is like, no, you can't do that. Alberta distillery to stop making 4 liter vodka.
Fun killers.
Minister raises concerns. But to the point, do you see how much? You're right. Total fucking wet blankets. $66.99 for this 4 liter jug of T-Rex, right? In a milk jug. If you go to the other store, it's $49.95. That is a way better deal to get a milk jug. I just want to point that out. But they're about to be discontinued. 4 liters of vodka. Ace.
Well, and the funny thing is, now that we're promoting it, there's going to be a rush to the stores.
I know.
What was the hot dog thing? Because you were teasing a hot dog thing, too.
Yeah. Let's get to it tomorrow. I don't want to get to it today. This is like an hour and 7 minutes. I have a question about hot dogs because I went to Costco the other day.
Yeah.
That's all I want to talk about. I want to talk about hot dogs when we first start the podcast tomorrow. I have very serious concerns.
Hot dogs.
Anti-competition rules. We're in that place. We're in that place where hot dogs at Costco. Bait. Delicious, affordable bait. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
That's it for me. You done? You good?
I'm done. Yeah. Get your golf pass for the Arden Roof Systems Charity Golf Tournament. Stollery Child Life Program. Again, send me a note. I'll fire you the link. Early bird pricing wraps up at the end of April. You don't want to miss the best tournament in the summer of the summer. All right.
Yeah. And tax deductible too, by the way. And here's the other thing. You're going to have a great time and you're going to enjoy some people and you're going to be helping some kids live their best lives as they go through
and
some
Dean's
stuff.
Coming right? out.
And I will be there on July 5th for this event. So let's all have a good time. Let's make some money for the kids. Go and sign up. Go to ardentroofsystems.com. Sign up to be a partner. Sign up to donate. Sign up to golf. Sign up to sponsor. Do your best for these beautiful children who are going through it at Stollery Children's Hospital. So
thank
let's
you, Dean.
Do that together. Anytime, buddy. Good to see you. Lachlan Cross. At Lachlan Cross on Twitter is where you can find him. You can find everything he does at Cryer Media. Go to cryer.co for more details. Brought to you by our friends at Rome Auto. Go to rome.auto for more details on how you can get a new car and not have to buy one. Yeah, that's right, because it's a car subscription company. Drive on your own terms. Car subscription from Rome. Insurance, routine maintenance, roadside assistance, including everything except fuel. I said that. You don't pay for insurance. You don't pay for maintenance. You don't pay for roadside assistance. It is included in your low monthly payment that covers absolutely everything. You can walk into a car, walk out of a car, flexible monthly plans, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. It doesn't matter. They don't care. Only thing they care about is getting you in a car that you like. Go and browse cars today. 4.9 stars out of Google. You can also check them out on BlogTO, CBC, Yahoo Finance. This is a really cool little deal, and it's in the GTA for the first time. So if you're in Toronto and you're looking for a car and the barrier to entry is just too much, and if you're really worried about getting hosed on a used vehicle, and if you're really sick and tired of overpaying for used EVs, go and get one basically for the price of what you would pay for any car or any lease with no lease commitment, no purchase commitment, no upfront payment. And all of your incidentals are included, insurance, routine maintenance, roadside assistance. And right now you can roam with Dean. That promo code gets you $150 off your first month. That matters depending on the car that you drive. It absolutely matters no matter what. You want to save $150. You want a new car. You're in the mix for one. Maybe you're between cars and you want to try an EV. It doesn't matter. These guys are great. Go to rome.auto. Rome with Dean is your promo code. Rome.auto. Rome with Dean, your promo code. Go to Rome Auto today. Get yourself a new vehicle. Don't buy. Subscribe. Also brought to you by our friends at factcheck.io. FactCheck is robust software that helps you figure out what you need to do to be able to believe. That's right. We are inundated. We just talked about it. Lies, memes, everybody's been lied to by politicians, captains of industry, big pharma. That's what happens. You want to find out the truth? You want a little hand buddy. You need someone to be able to usher you through the highway of disinformation. That's what the software does. FactCheck.io is looking for beta testers, too. Tried this again the other day. We've been through like 6 or 7 different user experiences with the beta test with FactCheck, and every time it blows me away. They add new sources, new connections, new epistemology. Every single time I go in there, there's something new that helps me understand that disinformation and misinformation is one of the world's biggest businesses, and you need that agency over your life when it comes to what you read, see, feel, hear, and touch. That's what Fact Check does. Go to factcheck.io for more details and to sign up for their beta test today and become a verified fact checker. Factcheck.io. Do you believe? We're also brought to you by our friends at Cantorque. Cantorque makes rugged, hardworking torque wrenches. Cantorque.com is the name of their website. Go there today. Check out all their products, all their services. If you're looking for any kind of bolting solution, anything, doesn't matter, heavy industry, forestry, railroad, nuclear, steel industry. I mean, Colin and his group, they're in Canada. They manufacture in Canada, design in Canada, and they fabricate any torque wrench for any bolting need around the world in Edmonton, Alberta, proudly for heavy industry around the world. They've been doing it for 20 years. They're a complete solution shop, and that is what they do for people that need torque wrenches. Any bolting solution, loosening or fastening, it doesn't matter what it is. They make the best in the world, and they're known for it. That's why they are worldwide, centered here in Canada, proudly Canadian, Maple Leaf on every single one of their products. Go and check out all their products today at cantorque.com. Also, last but not least, brought to you by our friends at Muse Massage Spa. Right now, you can join the ladies at Muse for a sesh. It's called the Dean Sesh. That's right. Listen, it's therapeutic. I love these girls. They're entrepreneurs. It's safe. They're sexologists. They're educators. Sex work is work. So, MuseMassageSpa.com. Check out their calendar. They've got a brand new website as well, so you can check out some of the muses and treatments and location. You can also download their podcast. They educate people. They help women and men in this industry find their footing, and also their educators as to what the sex work industry is all about. Their podcast is phenomenal, uncensored on Patreon, Muse on the Mic. Make sure you go and sub today. Also, their YouTube channel is called Muse on the Mic, and you can get everything they do at Cryer Media. Go to cryer.co for more details. Go and sub to their podcast and check them out there too. But more importantly, make sure you give them a visit. MuseMassageSpa.com, 1290 Finch Avenue West, Unit 13, Toronto, Ontario. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for being here. We'll see you tomorrow on this very program. Who do we have tomorrow? Oh, Steve Cody, former record guy, Hockey Helps for the Homeless. I've known this guy for 25 years. Maybe the best storyteller in the world. He's toured with every major band. He's one of Canada's greatest music executives. Now he's into the altruistic portion of his retirement. You'll love him. He's going to be here with us tomorrow. We'll tell some old stories. We'll relive some moments from The Edge and Lachlan's time in radio, my time in radio, and then we'll get to the important part of the day, helping homeless people and helping house people through sports. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. Steve Cody, don't forget, we got Dave Moskrop still coming on Thursday, trying to close the gap with Charlie Angus. He'll be the first politician we've had on the show in like 3 years because we banned them all. He's leaving, so he's not really a politician. And on Friday, Frankie Graves, Ecos Research. He's going to drop some new research about what the political landscape looks like, who believes what, and all that information. So we'll have that for you all week long. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, subscribe anywhere you get this fine podcast, Google, Apple, Spotify, etc. Also, YouTube, Cryer Media, Dean Blundell Show on Cryer Media as well. Thank you very much for taking a minute with us. We always appreciate your time because you can't get more time. You can always get more stuff. So when you give us your time instead of stuff, we're more appreciative of that. Thank you. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. Bye.
This is Charles Adler. After a few years of working on radio and television, The Charles Adler Show has evolved to a natural place in 2023. YouTube, podcast, and open RSS. You'll hear the show as it always has been delivered, concise, with context, clarity, and empathy. And as a bonus, the guests will be natural-born storytellers who won't fear telling stories that are personal and emotional. They won't fear uncomfortable questions. Most important, they won't fear me. Follow me on Twitter at Charles Adler and subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Mercedes Nickel, four-time Winter Olympian and host of Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes. This is a podcast where I interview a bunch of different people. I get the good, the bad, and the ugly, as well as I share my stories along the way. Now you can drop in at droppingin.com or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and YouTube. I'll see you soon.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.